Well, it's a beautiful, cold Wisconsin day out there. For some people, their first idea is to get out and enjoy that brisk weather on skis or snowshoes or just walking outside, maybe watching those winter birds. But for others, curling up on the couch sounds a lot better. Hi, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. Happy New Year. Thanks for starting off 2013 with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. While there's nothing wrong with a nice nap or snuggling up to read a book, it's also important to get outside regularly, especially if you have kids. Rebecca Cohen is a gardening and outdoor lifestyle expert whose mission is to inspire people to get off the couch and discover how simple it can be to incorporate an active outdoor lifestyle into a busy schedule. She's the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. Rebecca, it's so great to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And we talked with you, I was looking back, it was June of last year, so pretty different weather than we're having today in Wisconsin. I think this was the coldest morning that we, at least here in Madison, we've woken up to. Pretty brisk out there, nice and sunny though. But you have such great ideas for getting outside, regardless of the weather, year-round, that I thought this was a great time to talk with you, and especially because this whole idea of yours came out of a New Year's resolution. How did that come about?
It did come out of a New Year's resolution, and I'm not one typically to make them, but it was a cold January 1st morning with my children, and we were outside. We were watching squirrels running around. We could hear the crunch of the leaves under our feet, and we were living in Virginia at the time, and I was having so much fun with them. We were laughing. We just, our moments together were so great, and I looked around, and there was no one else outside in the neighborhood. And I thought, you know, I want everyone to experience how great this is. And I wonder, what if I did this every single day of the year, no matter the weather, what would come of it? And so I did. I made a resolution to get outside 365 days a year with my kids. And it's become a healthy habit of ours. It's something that we treasure now.
And why do you feel so strongly that time outside is important, especially for kids?
Well, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends an hour of unstructured outdoor playtime for children. But it's more than that. It's really special bonding time as a family. You know, it's not only healthy for kids, it's healthy for adults. You know, research has shown that it's really good for kids. It actually improves cooperation, reduces aggression in children. You know, my kids inside, I have two boys, they're 8 and 10 now, but I started this journey with them when they were 2 and 4. Mm-hmm. And when they're inside, they bicker nonstop. When they are outside, they are best of friends. So this is also a great parenting tool for all of us.
Well, and I think it's important to emphasize that this isn't about just, you know, shoving the kids outside and saying, okay, go play, that you're actually out there with them.
I was so touched when Martha Sears of William and Martha Sears endorsed my book, because she gave this wonderful quote. She said, the bonding that comes from shared adventure is priceless. There's something magical that happens when we're outside, when we spend time together. We notice more about the plants and animals around us, and we become closer as a family.
And you talk about how it's really a stress relief valve, and, you know, building those experiences together outside really does, when there are those opportunities to bicker when you're cooped up indoors, maybe it just smooths off the edges a little because you have those shared experiences to go back to.
It really is a stress relief valve for everyone in the family. There's something about stepping outside, and sometimes that's first step is the hardest for us as parents. But once we step outside, you know, without those boundaries around us, you know, there's more that we can explore and learn and be curious together.
We're talking with Rebecca Cohen. She is the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. And we would love to hear from you, too. What activities do you enjoy doing with your kids, grandkids, maybe students if you're a teacher? How do you like to get outside with them? We'd love to have you share those ideas. Or if you're looking for some ideas, we'd love to have you call in. Rebecca would be happy to share some of her many ideas. And you can join in by calling 800-642-1061. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post a question or a comment on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mehler Show, and Mehler is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Dave Potraz, our on-air producer today, will be happy to get your questions and comments into us. And Rebecca, I love that you suggest that actually getting used to being outdoors and thinking first about how to be outdoors actually makes play dates a lot easier. Why is that?
It does make play dates easier to have them outside. There's no mess in the house. You can meet up somewhere. You know that, you know, the kids will get their wiggles out. You can meet at the playground. You know, actually, my kids know that there's sort of a rule. If they want to invite someone over, then they know that they're expected to play outside. And it's great. You know, the kids do get their wiggles out. You know, as a mom, I can have, in wintertime, for example, have the hot cocoa ready for them. And it's just, it becomes such a nice treat.
Well, and I also love that you were feeling badly because so often you were sending other people's kids home all dirty and muddy and stuff. And you finally just started saying, you know, why don't just send an extra set of clothes along with them for the play date? Because chances are they're going to need it.
I did, and that's funny. It's sort of a running joke with some of our family friends now, and I wasn't sure if they would want to be my friend much longer when I started sending their kids home dirty, but they did start sending, you know, extra sets of clothes, and, you know, it's okay. Things wash, and that's great.
Well, and I really like, too, that, you know, let's go back for a moment to the issue of childhood obesity and, you know, the time the kids spend in front of TVs or computer screens or gaming screens versus the time that they're spending outdoors. It's a huge problem right now.
It is a huge problem. And what I love about, you know, this concept of just stepping outside for 15 minutes a day, which more often than not leads to more time outside, I place it in the context of making a healthy choice for my children, and that they know that stepping outside, you know, with a friend, by themselves, with their parents, that they're making a healthy choice. And it's really neat. When my 10-year-old now, he's in fifth grade, when they did a family crest and they put, you know, symbols or words of activities that were important to them, the theme and quote that my 10-year-old put on his family crest was, "Will you play outside with me?"
Wow.
And he's a kid that will naturally gravitate. If you give him a video game, he will want to sit there all day with it. So it meant a lot that, you know, just the habit of getting outside 15 minutes a day with my kids has really grown into a healthy habit and a healthy choice that has also created memorable moments for our family.
Well, and I appreciated that you didn't sugarcoat it. You didn't say like, oh, you know, as soon as I mentioned the idea of spending time outdoors every day, my kids were all for it. I mean, you do talk about how one or the other will want to stay inside. And then sometimes if you get one of the boys outside doing something with you, then the other one's kind of like, wait a second, they look like they're having fun. And that's more realistic, I think. It's not, you know, none of us always feel like doing something that's quote unquote good for us, even if it's something we generally enjoy.
Right, exactly. So there are times when, you know, I didn't want to go outside, or one of the kids wanted to go outside, and I really tried to have a habit of, when my kids ask me to play outside in particular, to try to always say yes, mm-hmm. You know, so that maybe what I'm working on can wait 15 minutes. I can step outside with them, and actually that will engage them in an activity, and they'll you know, want to spend more time on, and then I can kind of quietly sneak away to do what I really needed to do.
Right.
And sometimes we don't necessarily have all the time in the world, but we do have 15 minutes. And there are times when literally I had to, you know, pull my kids outside, out of the house, you know, let's get out all together. And they weren't happy with me, but you know, within 15 minutes, they completely forgotten whatever they were angry about and wanted to stay outside longer.
Well, and that was a question I had. I mean, the goal is 15 minutes outside, but I'm guessing that a fair amount of the time that 15 minutes passes and you just keep going and the kids keep going because you're enjoying what you're doing.
Absolutely. And there's one story in particular that I share in the book where it was a cold winter day. You know, the family was fighting inside. The husband said, "You're the outdoor expert. What should we do?" And I said, "I don't know. Let's just take a walk." So we just went from the house. The wind was blowing. You know, the snow was blowing. You know, within 5 minutes, we were just laughing hysterically at my husband because he was so cold. And then we just kept walking. And that led to exploring. And 45 minutes later, you know, we had done this full circle of a new path that we had never done before. And we were peeling off layers. You know, no longer was anybody cold. You know, we were laughing, having a great time. We were warm and we were coming back inside the house much happier as a family.
Well, and I really like, and I think it's telling that your January 1st activity is explore as a naturalist, because one of the great things I think that you really bring out in this book is that kids are naturally curious. They want to know about the world around them. And if you just even nudge them in the direction of paying more attention to the things, even in the backyard or a local park, they really gravitate towards that. And so besides them getting fresh air and you know, healthy doses of sunlight and just moving, they're also building from a very young age a real appreciation of the world around them.
They really are, and kids are just naturally curious. And when they're outside, you know, there's basically an outdoor playground for them. And it's been very touching that I've had quite a following in my book of educators, you know, because there's this timely tip of a way to bring a lesson about the natural world outside, you know, with very few resources, if any. You know, the opportunity to learn is right there with you. And kids, you know, just tracking the seasons, you know, appreciating and noticing the changes in nature. Really, every time you step outside, you're going to see something new.
Well, and actually, we have Ned in Green Bay on the line, who is a teacher. So let's go there. Hi, Ned.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Calling in to talk about some of the work that my students have been working on with me. I teach alternative special ed at the elementary level in Green Bay, and my students are from K through about seventh grade. We do a lot of outdoor work and get outside and do native garden projects around the city of Green Bay. And we've also started doing a prairie restoration on the near west side of downtown Green Bay.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten from the kids that you teach?
They love it. They love getting outside and doing something a little different. I have a student that's no longer in my class, but he and I still go out to that prairie and do work together because he just kind of fell in love with the project. And he's a middle school kid, and he just, you know, they've done a great job getting out there and learning about the different plants and animals and birds, insects, and just kind of exploring this whole new world in the middle of the city. So it's been fun.
That sounds great. I'm guessing, Rebecca, that doesn't surprise you at all.
It doesn't surprise me, and it actually takes me back to one of my earliest memories as a child, was sitting in the dirt eating peas straight from the pod. And what's interesting about that is we moved from Illinois to Virginia when I was four, and I never had a garden again. Mm. So one of the things that he's speaking to that really resonates with me is giving kids an opportunity that they might not otherwise have in having his focus on outdoor education. And it really can inspire a lifelong love of nature, but also really, you know, give kids hands-on opportunities to really relate to what we're teaching them in terms of plant and animal life cycles. And a couple of my favorite things that I love to do with classrooms is, you know, just simply sprouting pea seeds, for example. You know, they learn about healthy eating. They see the plant life cycle. You know, they get to watch the pea pod grow from the flower, and also planting native plants such as milkweed that's native to North America. Mm-hmm. You know, just watching that butterfly life cycle is amazing.
And Ned, I'm curious whether the school administration has been supportive, or did it take a little convincing for them to see the benefits of taking your class outside the classroom?
I've had a lot of really strong support from administrators. We've developed this thing called the the Green Bay Public Schools Green Team, and we've created this project called the Pollinator Corridor, and we've received a lot of support from school staff, from community volunteers, local officials and businesses. We've received a bunch of grants. It's been very well received. So
that's great to hear. Are other classrooms in your school thinking of doing a similar project?
Other schools around the city are doing, definitely. We're working with other schools to develop both vegetable gardens and native plants.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. And we are talking with Rebecca Cohen, author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll stay tuned because at 11:45, vegan chef and cookbook author Terry Hope Romero joins us to talk about how and why to add more plant-based meals to our diets. It's a good time of year to be thinking about ways to maybe be a little healthier, and also those plant-based diets can be good for our budgets as well. Another thing that's good for our budgets is thinking of great ways to be outdoors with our kids. 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids is Rebecca Cohen's book, and she joins us today to talk about great ideas for the winter. And I know, Rebecca, that you have some great organizational tools for making sure that we can actually find the things that we need to get outside, even in the winter with all the gear we need.
That's right. You know, just having bins by the door, for example, for each of your kids with their names on it so that they can put their mittens, their hats, you know, had their boots right by the door. It just makes it so much easier when they know where to put their things when they come in, so that they can find them.
And that makes it a lot easier to get out the door and have the fun that you're looking forward to instead of spending the 15 minutes looking for that second mitten.
Exactly. And I also recommend just something called an outdoor to-go kit. You know, think of the things that you like to have on hand. What do your children like to do and participate in? You know, I, for example, for wintertime, you know, the kids don't need to stay up late to look at the stars, which I love. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to have, you know, battery-operated glow sticks that also operate as flashlights. You know, have those in a basket. If you like to take winter picnics, for example, after you have your hike or your snowshoeing, or your sledding or playing, making snowmen, you know, you can still put a blanket out and, have a winter picnic. Have that meal outside after you're nice and warm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you also suggest having binoculars and magnifying glasses. I think there are a lot of ways that you can really enjoy and appreciate all those little details out there that when you're just, you know, bundled up trying to get in the car as fast as you can, you just don't notice.
Exactly. Sometimes even just a journal with some colored pencils are really nice, too, for kids.
Well, Carolyn in Portage is on the line, so let's go there. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share a story. When my daughter was young, we always, you know, outside playing every day. But another thing we did was we'd always walk after dinner. And in the winter, of course, it would be dark. And she really enjoyed the walks at night. And she even asked, you know, hey, can we go to the park? And I was like, well, why not? And we used to go down the park and swing on the swings in the dark. And I think it really took her fear of the dark away, because we just did normal things that we did during the day. Just in the winter, if it got dark so early, we'd be doing them in the dark. And she never had a fear of the dark and could never understand why her friends were always afraid of the dark. And she just really enjoyed those nights in the park.
That sounds great.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. And she's 13 now, and I never have to tell her to go outside and play. That's just what she does and still does to this day, and always gets outside every day.
That's great. Well, it sounds like Carolyn is right there with you, Rebecca.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of my favorite things to do when there's snow on the ground even is, you know, don't forget about the playgrounds. You can still pack up the snow at the end of the slide and slide down a little bit, which is great for smaller kids, too, to be able to enjoy the snow when they have a hard time moving around. But my kids have gotten used to, you know, inviting me to do homework outside with them. Or, you know, when one of my kids isn't feeling well, you know, they'll say, you know, I think I just need to get some fresh air, which is fantastic to have that that healthy habit instilled in them.
Well, and I really like that, you know, obviously there are some great winter sports that we can all, you know, depending on our ability, take advantage of. But it doesn't have to be, you know, an organized, maybe, you know, equipment heavy kind of activity. I mean, you have great ideas for things like, you know, looking at ice more closely, whether it's, you know, creating art out of icicles or, you know, taking a magnifying glass and noticing that ice isn't just this massive, you know, monolithic chunk. It's got bubbles and it has, you know, cracks and it has different designs in it.
Exactly. You can go right outside, take a look at a piece of ice, you know, see all the different layers, see how different pieces of ice differ from each other. You can, you know, make a snow sculpture. You can make, you know, ice cubes outside and build them and stack them, if you will. You know, you can make your own Legos out of nature. It's really, all the supplies you need really are right outside your doorstep.
We're talking about getting outside with your kids every day of the year, even when it's cold and snowy, like winter in Wisconsin often is. You can join the conversation with Rebecca Cohen by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or feel free to send us an email at talk@WPR.org. And Jessica in Sheboygan is up next. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I grew up playing outside as well, and my family had that rule that you were going to have people over if you were playing outside and all year round. But we have free reign of the neighborhood, and there was a river that ran close to our neighborhood. We had multiple schools that we would ride our bikes to or roller skate to or walk, and we were never supervised. We were always in a group of at least 2 to 5 of us. But we never really had an adult with us. We always told an adult where we were going. But I think it would have been a lot harder to play in just our yard. And I wondered if your guest had any suggestions for, you can't do that nowadays with kids. They can't go, you know, anywhere unsupervised. And I just wondered if she had any ideas for, like, keeping a buddy system or how far she lets her children go without... Mm-hmm. At a certain age or something?
Sure. That's a great question. So I know, Rebecca, that, you know, you really emphasize doing things outside with your kids. But as you said, sometimes, you know, other responsibilities call. And so you start out with them, but then, you know, kind of encourage them to keep going. How do you deal with the issue of safety or just, you know, making sure that they don't get in trouble?
Sure. I think, you know, every parent has their own style and sort of what their comfort zone is. And I think what's really important is just that you communicate to your kids what your rules are. So, for example, I took, I think, 6 kids in the neighborhood on a hike one day, and I forgot to tell them that my comfort zone was I wanted to be able to see them and I wanted them to be able to see me. Mm-hmm. And they just took off running. And I thought, oh, gosh. Okay, lesson learned here. You know, make the rules clear to your kids. And of course, you're going to know your kids, and their personalities, which could be quite different. So for example, my older son has always been, very good at following instructions. And if I say, you know, go to the neighbor's house and knock, if he's not home, come back, I know he will. When I've tried to lift those reins a little bit with my younger son, I learned very quickly that he'd go to the neighbor's house and then he'd go, you know, down the street and try to find another neighbor to play with, and he wouldn't come back right away. So I think it's really up to the parent and knowing your child as well, and sort of gradually lifting limits to your comfort level and to see what the outcome actually is. And mm-hmm. And my son, who's 10 now, in the summertime here where we live, you know, he can go ride his bike and have free rein. And of course, now in the days of cell phones, he knows he can call me and we have sort of that mm-hmm. comfort level there. My 8-year-old, I'm not ready to do that at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because now 10 and 8, I mean, there's an age difference, but it's not such a huge gap between them as when they were, say, 5 and 3. How do you adapt activities when you have kids, and especially, you know, if you're having other kids, say, from the neighborhood or from school over, if you have kids of different ages that you're trying to get them all, you know, involved in an activity, how do you work with those different, you know, abilities, interests, things like that?
Sure. Well, I think one great thing is that, you know, sometimes as parents, we're sort of tired of being what I call Julie McCoy, the cruise director. You know, I don't want to have to engage a bunch of kids every step of the way. I want them to be able to have the freedom and the unstructured play. But if I'm having a play date, for example, at my house, maybe I'll get all the balls. So one of the pieces of organization is, you know, I put all the balls in different buckets, and that's where they go. And so when they, you know, get put out, they come back into the buckets. But if you put out all the balls that you have, the kids are naturally going to gravitate to what interests them. Mm. And what's interesting is the kids will start to make up games themselves. Or if I put out all the chalk and all the, you know, crayons and pieces of paper, the kids will sort of naturally come up with the activity that they want to do. So I think, again, it's sort of, you know, sort of think of maybe the general theme of what you're comfortable with of having the kids do, and then they'll actually start making up the games themselves, which is pretty neat to see.
We're talking with Rebecca Cohen about ways to get outdoors with your kids every day of the year, even in a Wisconsin winter. She's the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller, and we'd love to have you join the conversation either with questions for Rebecca or suggestions for the rest of us of how to get outside with kids to everyone's benefit. You can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or post a question or a comment on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. And we did have a caller who couldn't stay on the line, Rebecca, who suggested playing with bubbles and squirt guns when it's really cold outside. Is that something you've tried?
Bubbles and squirt guns, it's an awesome idea to see what happens.
Right.
It's something actually that I haven't tried. So thank you,
Colin,
for that
suggestion.
It's something that we'll try.
You can add that in for the leap year edition since you'll have an extra day of winter to try.
Exactly.
Well, and I really like that, you know, you do tie some of the activities to specific days of the year. So, for instance, Martin Luther King Day is coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's a holiday for most kids and schools and many parents. And it's also been designated as a National Day of Service. And so you have some great ideas for combining that lesson or that opportunity about being part of the community and contributing to the community with spending time outdoors.
Exactly. You know, see what your kids would like to do outside, but also, you know, combine that with how could we help. How can we help people or how can we help the planet? So, you know, whether it's picking up trash around your local school or the playground, starting to plan a garden, you know, in the wintertime, it's a great opportunity to start to plan the garden, start to draw pictures of what you would like it to have, you know, to start planning ahead. You know, think of ways that you can get outside and serve at the same time.
And it's funny because, of course, we're talking about getting outside every day of the year, but you also acknowledge that, you know, there are some days of the year that really you just can't do it for a variety of reasons. And so you actually kind of flip it on its head and try to bring the outdoors in.
Yes, you can bring the outdoors in. So, of course, one of my favorites is just, you know, building forts. You can make your own pretend campfire marshmallows, you know, just using the graham crackers with a marshmallow and piece of chocolate in between, putting that in the microwave, and you can sort of have a pretend campfire, if you will, inside. You can also plant seeds on the windowsill. Mm. So typically a lot of us have, you know, a sunny windowsill even in wintertime. And so generally seeds will sprout at temperatures above 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So experiment with that. If you have some leftover vegetable seeds from the summertime, see what you can get to sprout. And actually, I started sprouting seeds with my kids when my younger son would just take them from an apple or from an orange and say, can we plant this, Mommy? And so you can actually take an apple seed or an orange seed.
Mm-hmm. I certainly,
cotton ball.
I grew up trying to sprout avocado pits.
There you go. So you can take a seed, put it in a lightly moistened cotton ball and inside a little Ziploc plastic bag and tape it to your sunny windowsill. And it sort of acts as a mini greenhouse and you can watch your seed sprout, which is pretty neat.
Well, and actually just the other day on Garden Talk, we were talking about planning, you know, for your spring and summer garden. And someone called to ask about, you know, how do I know if seeds that I kept you know, that I didn't use the whole packet of last year are still going to be good for the next year. And our guest actually suggested doing basically the same thing, taking about 20 seeds from a, you know, particular envelope, putting them, moistening them, putting them in a little bag with maybe a moistened paper towel. And just, they actually said just leaving it on the counter, but certainly, you know, putting it in a sunny windowsill is fine too. And then you can actually, it's a little experiment. You can see how many of those seeds sprout and whether, you know, whether the percentage is high enough that you want to use those seeds or if you feel like you need to start over. So you could actually, one of the things you suggest is dreaming about your garden. You could actually get the kids involved in testing out those seeds from last year.
Exactly. And I also love using, you know, leftover egg cartons as well, or you can use toilet paper rolls actually, and you can, you know, roll newspaper around them and make your own little newspaper pots. Really fun things you can do in winter inside.
The idea for January 29th, I really like. It's think big thoughts. And you say that someone once told you that when she was a kid, her mother would tell her to sit under a small tree and have small thoughts and then sit under a big tree and think big thoughts. And you talk about trying it with kids, but actually as an adult, that really appealed to me as well.
You know, a lot of times for me and for the kids, but I use the outdoors every day for me as well, just to have a new perspective on things. Sometimes if something's bothering us or we're sort of stuck in a rut, you know, just taking that walk, having a new perspective, so you can certainly sit under a big tree or a little tree. You can look up, look down. You know, a lot of times just the most beautiful views are if we just look up. And I think having a new perspective, it gives us a new perspective on whatever we're dealing with in life.
I think also, you know, so often I find, especially in the winter, I am looking down so much because I'm trying not to fall. And so I'm looking where I'm going to place my feet on the potentially slippery, slidey sidewalk. But one thing that I'm trying to do more is as I look down, noticing things like all the little tracks. I mean, you can recreate the story of what little critters have passed through since, say, the day before when you go out in the morning, and you see all kinds of tracks in the snow that you would never see on, you know, a bright, sunny May afternoon.
Following tracks is one of my favorite things. So to first notice them, as you mentioned, and then if you're with kids or by yourself, to follow them is so much fun. I mean, I had such a wonderful afternoon with my son once when we just, you know, we're taking a walk and then we started to notice all the different tracks. And then you sort of start to think, well, I wonder, you know, what made those? And then you sort of pick, well, which set should we follow? And we actually followed the tracks all the way through to some flattened brush where, through noticing the scat as well, we decided that it was probably a herd of deer that lived there, which was a pretty neat adventure for the two of us.
And again, those are things that your kids are going to take forward into life, that they're going to share with their friends if they're in this situation, and certainly they're going to share with their own kids, whether they're a parent or a great aunt or uncle or, you know, whatever they're doing, they're going to take that with them.
And I think actually my kids have really benefited from the experiences in taking that back to school with them. It gives them topics that they can write about. I've seen a lot of their writing come back from school that has to do with experiences that we had together. And so it's not only, you know, great for making memories, but it really is giving them information that they can use and develop, you know, for their own learning.
Jim in Madison is on the line, so let's go there. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I just wanted to make the point. I heard one of the earlier callers talking about the area that she grew up in and going out and playing by themselves. I think we've gotten over-concerned about the safety of our kids being going outside and playing by themselves. You know, I notice even in my neighborhood, people wait at the bus stop with their children every morning, and I think it's important to realize that the world is no less safe now than it was when we were kids. It's just that we've got a 24-hour national news cycle, so if a kid gets into trouble in Washington State, we hear about it in Madison, Wisconsin. But I think it's important to let kids go outside and create their own fun. I think it's great to spend time with them as parents, but I think they need to develop more independence, and they can do it at young ages.
Thanks for that perspective, Jim. And I do think that, you know, there is a happy medium, wouldn't you say, Rebecca?
Oh, I think so. He makes a very good point, and I think it's something that we all should strive for, is is allowing our kids to have that unstructured experience in nature, because it's so good for their development, and it does help them gain a sense of independence.
Right, and I think confidence, and you know, obviously we don't want them to be, you know, dangling from an icy cliff by their fingernails, but you know, if they have to figure things out a little bit for themselves, if they have to figure their way around obstacles, if they have to, you know, figure out the best way to get to where they're going, you know, those are some good skills that whether they realize it or not, they're going to take into other areas of their lives too.
Definitely.
And as you said, you know, you were saying that your two boys, you know, will be, you know, at each other constantly indoors, but outdoors it's totally different. You know, I think it's great that you're spending the time out there, but, you know, how great for siblings to have that experience of cooperating and having fun together and, you know, working together to, you know, to a common end of let's have a really good time here out in the snow, whether mom or dad are with us or not.
Exactly. And a lot of my memories growing up were in the backyard with my sisters. I have three sisters, and that's what we did. I mean, we had hours and hours of creative play that we had together. And I think that siblings definitely, through unstructured play outside, are getting that opportunity as well.
Well, and in just the minute or so we have left, Rebecca, here we are on New Year's Day, and lots of kids are off school for at least the rest of the week, if not longer. So for parents out there that might be a little daunted by the thought of kids who are at home under the roof with them for extended periods of time this week, what are some fun activities that you would recommend for getting outside with your kids this week?
Well, one of my favorites is something I call guess the temperature. It's so simple. It doesn't require any information other than you're starting to notice what the temperature feels like and associate it with how you need to get ready for the day, for example. So every morning we play the game, whether we're in the car, we do have a thermometer here that I do use, but we guess the temperature. So even if you don't have a thermometer, you can look it up online. But it's fun to go outside and say, okay, so how cold do you think it is?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you can actually do every day. It's an activity that you can do every day. It gets you outside every day. It gets them starting to associate what it feels like with how they need to get dressed and get ready in the morning. And of course, you know, with the temperature, you can make those ice cubes. You can stack them like Legos. You can get out that journal and your colored pencils. They can start to track what they see every single day and sort of notice the differences. You know, that's what's great about not needing to have any sort of special activity, mm-hmm. is that every day nature is changing. So every day the weather is changing. Kids can start to notice and appreciate and sort of tell you what they're seeing, which is really neat, and just be on your doorstep. You don't necessarily have to go, you know, make a big adventure out of it, but you could, you know, take that walk, go find a new playground. That's a fun thing to do in the wintertime. And again, nothing that takes any special equipment. It just takes a willingness to sometimes get out of your comfort zone and maybe just ask them, what would you like to do outside mm-hmm. today? And be open to trying it, whatever it is.
That sounds like a lot of fun, and I know that I'm looking forward to getting outside later today and the rest of the year. Rebecca Cohen, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Cohen is a gardening and outdoor lifestyle expert whose mission is to inspire people to get off the couch and discover how simple it can be to incorporate an active outdoor lifestyle into a busy schedule, especially with your kids. She's the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. And that was a lot of fun. And her book and project came out of a New Year's resolution. So it would appear that some resolutions actually do stick, and we're all the better for it. Well, all that great outdoor activity we've been talking about is bound to work up an appetite. Coming up next, we're going to learn how to incorporate more plant-based meals into our diets. Vegan cookbook author Terry Hope Romero joins us for a fun and mouth-watering conversation. So stay tuned right here to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.